Welcome to the First Pres Sermon Podcast, where each week we dive into Scripture, wrestle with truth, and discover how faith intersects our lives. God's Word meets us where we are, challenging, shaping, and calling us into something greater. No matter where you are on your journey, you belong here, and we're praying that this sermon might help you take a next step in faith towards Jesus. Hey, let's dive into today's message together.
Hey, open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. We're in the series in Ephesians, and today we're at Ephesians 5, 6 to 20. And as we open our scriptures, let's open our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we know that your Bible is not like other books, that this script, this text, is something that you've given us, that you speak to us. So, Lord, in this moment, we pray that we would receive your word, that your word would be over us, that it would correct us and guide us and shape us and draw us into a relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Ephesians 5, 6 to 20. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, it is June. Yay. It's June and it's stopped raining. It's only for a minute. Matt Meister, you know, plays guitar for us. He said, only for a minute. But still, it stopped raining. And so you know what that means. That means it's grill time. It's time to pull out the grill. Listen, amen. Fire plus meat plus sunshine equals what? Happiness. What'd you say, Justice? Opportunity? Barbecue, yeah. Yep, it's time to grill. Now, here's a pro tip. If you're going to grill, don't just throw the meat on the grill frozen. No. Pro tip. What are you going to do? You're going to marinate it, right? The very worst cut of meat can come out okay with the right marinade, can't it? That's right. Today we're going to talk about being marinated in holiness. Marinated in holiness. When I was a PhD candidate, I was studying the church fathers, and one of the things we learned about them was that we talked about how the church fathers, the church mothers, they were marinated in Scripture. It just kind of, they spent so much time in the Word of God, it just kind of oozed out of them. And when they were writing, they didn't stop and quote and say, now I'm going to quote Scripture, boom. And then they didn't put quotation marks. They would just write along in these, and then Scripture would just emerge from them, and it would just fill the page, and then they'd go back to what they're thinking. You wouldn't even know that they had stopped to quote something in Scripture if you didn't recognize it. So there was kind of a little Easter egg hunt for PhD candidates, aka nerds, where what we would do is we would try to find citations of Scripture that the English translators had missed. You follow me? So this is what you do. You'd be reading the Greek or the Latin of some ancient text, and you would find these places where I think this is straight out of the Bible, and you'd find a citation, and then you realize that the English translators missed it. They didn't find it. This was really exciting. I mean, you'd get up, you'd jump up, you'd run up and down the aisles of the library shouting to everybody, I found one. You people don't know what fun is, do you? It was so exciting. They were marinated in the scripture, marinated in the word of God, until it just oozed out of them. How much of prayer is just simply marinating in the presence of God, just soaking in his grace, in his holiness, until it just penetrates, until you take on the aroma, the flavors of Jesus, just marinating in his presence. Holiness is a word that has kind of gotten, a bad reputation, a bad rap. We hear the word holiness and we tend to have some odd associations with it. It feels awkward. I don't know that I want to pursue holiness. The first thing I think of is somebody who's sort of buttoned up and prude and doesn't know how to have fun, or somebody who's maybe self-righteous or kind of holier than thou, you know? I don't know if I want to be a part of that. Or we think of a pursuit of holiness as trying to eliminate a certain list of poor behaviors. Like there's things that you shouldn't do. And holiness, pursuit of holiness is just about changing my, like, don't drink, don't chew, don't run with girls that do. Right? Have you ever heard that? It's pretty good advice. But that's, we think of it as kind of this behavioralism. Like, is this what I'm supposed to do? I'm just supposed to stop doing something, start doing other things. Like, I don't just want to be fighting some kind of, it's kind of legalistic. You see what I'm saying? It's like, it's all about what I'm doing, how I'm behaving. Maybe living by grace doesn't mean those things. Maybe living by grace just means accepting that I've got good things, I've got bad things, I've got virtue, I've got vice, and I just need to tolerate that. I need to tolerate that. Maybe I just need to get used to managing my sin, tolerating my sin. But God doesn't tolerate sin. God's heart is against sin. In fact, God is deeply troubled by sin. He knows the damage that it caused. He knows the toxicity, the poison of it. God is hard set against sin. He doesn't look away from sin. He doesn't turn a blind eye to sin. In fact, he stares it down. Jesus stared it down all the way to the cross where he paid for it. God calls us to be holy as he is holy. He calls us to be holy. As we continue in this series in the spirit of prayer, we want to talk about today's being marinated in holiness. And at the end of the message, I just want to give us some time to bathe in the presence of God, to be marinated in holiness. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, he said, holiness is a call for every Christian. Anybody who follows Jesus is called to be holy. This is what he wrote. God has called every Christian to a holy life. There are no exceptions to this call. It is not a call only to pastors, missionaries, and a few dedicated Sunday school teachers. Every Christian of every nation, whether rich or poor, learned or unlearned, influential or totally unknown, is called to be holy. The Christian plumber and the Christian banker, the unsung homemaker and the powerful head of state are all alike called to be holy. Because God is holy, he requires that we be holy. Many Christians have what we might call a cultural holiness. They adapt to the character and behavior pattern of Christians around them. As the Christian culture around them is more or less holy, so these Christians are more or less holy. But look at this now. But God has not called us to be like those around us. He has called us to be like himself. Holiness is nothing less than conformity to the character of God. Holiness. Ephesians 5 begins, this is a part of the letter where Paul is talking about life together as Christians. And if you went up the page, Ephesians 5, we didn't read it. It begins with this, verse 1. It says, follow God's example, therefore. How do I live this life? Follow God's example, therefore. as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Follow God's example. God who says, be holy as I am holy. 1 Peter, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, be holy because I am holy. Follow his example. We're called to be holy, called to be holy. In formal terms, what we're talking about here is sanctification. That's the word for being made holy by God. And it's different from another term that we would call justification. Justification is when you've heard the gospel, you've heard what Jesus has done for you on the cross, you've heard that he died for your sins, you accept that, you believe that, you put your life in his hands, you're justified. You've been forgiven of your sins, you've been reconciled to God, you've been redeemed forever, that can never be taken away from you. Now you are one with Christ, you have a relationship with God, you are a child of God, and he's in you, he's going to dwell with you forever, and you will never lose your justification. That's justification. But now something else happens. Now Christ is in you. Now God has a hold of you. And do you know what God is going to do? He's going to start working on you. He's going to start working on you. God loves you just the way you are. And he loves you too much to leave you that way. Have you ever heard that? Well, they have now. Yeah. Yeah. He loves you too much to leave you that way. Once you're in a relationship with Christ, all of a sudden you feel he's starting to work on you. He pulls you up onto the anvil and you start to feel the hammer. And things are getting pounded out thin and things are getting chipped away and your suffering, your pain, the things that you're going through in life. You say, Lord, why? He's shaping you, he's forming you, he's working on you, he's sanctifying you, he's setting you apart for his glory. Holy means that. Holy, the word holy just means set apart. It means sort of set aside. Holiness is being set aside for God. Sanctification is being set aside to show the character of God. Being put over here, set aside. Sanctification is being made holy. Some say it isn't necessary. Some said, look, you're forgiven, forget about all that. Don't worry about your behavior, just do whatever you'd like. And that's what people were telling the Ephesian church. They were saying, look, you're saved, forget about all. You don't have to worry about how you behave. Paul says, no, no, no. Let no one deceive you, verse 6, with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Since the Ephesians now know Jesus, since they are in Christ, since Christ dwells in them by his Holy Spirit, since there is this place inside their heart where now God is inside of them, they have an opportunity to live a different life. They can now live in a different way. They didn't used to have a choice. Now they can live a different life in a different way. They've known the fruits of darkness. Now they can know the fruit of light. Look at verse 8. In fact, church, this is our verse this week. Would you read this with me? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. They were in darkness. They knew darkness. They'd already done that. But now something new is happening. It says, live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. You see, there's a fruit to holy living. There's a fruit to darkness. But there's a fruit to holiness. There's a fruit. God is not just laying down laws and saying, obey this or I'll be mad. This is not just an arbitrary list of rules and behaviors that God wants you to do. No, God is inviting you into a new way of life. A new way of life where you get to experience the fruit of light instead of the fruit of darkness. There's a fruit to it. There's a fruit to the pursuit of holiness, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Holiness is also about wholeness. Do you know that? Integrity. You know what integrity comes from? It comes from the word integer, a whole number. Integrity is being a whole person. Holiness is about wholeness. It's exhausting to have these different aspects of yourself that are at war with one another. What if you could be whole? One person, solid before the Lord. Integration. The opposite of integration. What's the opposite of integration? Disintegration. and disintegration is a painful and strained way to live. Verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. You see, he says, no more of the deeds of darkness. You've done that. That's disintegration. Oh, there's the things I do in the dark, and there's the things I do in the light. There's the me that I am over here and the me that I am back here. There's me in this relationship, and there's me with this group of people. It's exhausting. What if you could be one person solid and whole before the Lord? Can you imagine the peace? The psalmist says in Psalm 119, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Holiness, wholeness is peace. You know the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5? Love, joy. Anyone know what the next one is? Peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Some mothers are teaching their children these nine fruit of the Spirit. And you know these nine fruit, they're all one thing. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And so they're connected to one another. Self-control, connected to goodness, connected to faithfulness, connected to peace. Holiness is wholeness. Wholeness is peace. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You say, okay, all very good. All very good, but I've tried to be holy and it didn't work, right? How do you do it? How am I gonna be holy? Listen, as soon as we begin a pursuit of holiness, as soon as you conceive of the pursuit of holiness after Christ, there are three thoughts that have to come into your mind almost simultaneously. Number one, I wanna be holy. I long for it. Number two, at exactly the same time, I want to be holy, I long for it. Number two, I can't be holy. I can't do it. I can't attain it. It's too high for me. And number three, Christ has done it. He has won your holiness. Amen? I rest in him. Number one, I long to be holy. I want that wholeness. I want that peace. I want that solidity. I want to be integrated. I want to be full of your Spirit. I want to be full of the fruit of your Spirit. I want to know truth and goodness and beauty and righteousness and justice. I want to be holy, but I can't. I can't. As much as I strive for it, the more I understand the holiness of God, I know I can't attain it. There's something else warring against me, warring against my flesh. There's something that keeps me from it, that holds me back, that runs counter to it. There's a rebellion inside of me that I cannot put down. There's patterns inside my flesh that are running counter to what God wants of me to be holy as he is holy. Sin is not just an event. Sin is not just a crime committed just once. Sin is a tendency and an illness, and it runs through our veins, even as believers. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, the thing that I want to do, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. There's a war, even for believers. We're in a struggle against the patterns and the habits of rebellion and sin. Lord, I want to be holy. I can't. But here's the good news. Jesus has won your holiness. He has won it. And you can rest in him. Amen? So what's my posture? What do I do? How do I step into this? In the Romans passage that we were just looking at. See, Paul goes through this whole struggle like, I'm fighting, I'm still fighting. I know the Lord, but I'm still fighting. Why am I still fighting? And at the end of it, he says, you know, Christ has won it. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what's our posture then? Our posture, friends, is to collapse. Our posture is to lay our lives down at the feet of Jesus. Our posture is to take up our lives as if walking into the temple of God and lay them across the altar and say, Lord, I'm yours. St. Augustine of Hippo, he talked about that inner place in your heart where you meet with God in prayer. If you haven't opened your life to Christ, that place is empty. It's empty. If you've opened your life to Christ, Christ is there. He's in there by his Holy Spirit, and that's where you go and you commune with God in prayer. Augustine said there's an altar in there, like an altar of sacrifice, like the table where you would lay a sacrifice down. There's an altar inside that place, inside your heart. It's a beautiful image. He said that's where we go and we make our sacrifice of praise. And that's where we go and we lay down our lives. In the city of God, he wrote, to him we offer on the altar of the heart, the altar of the heart, the sacrifice of humility and praise kindled by the fire of love. Or as we read in Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a what, church? Living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. How do you do it? You lay your life down before Jesus. This is the paradox of the Christian life. The way to go up is to go down. The way to rise is to fall on your knees. The way to gain life is to lose it. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Collapse into his arms. And what happens then? What happens then is that a change is initiated in your heart. Your heart starts to shift. And then, as it says in Romans, then you will know what is holy and pleasing to God. There's a change inside you. You will want to please God. You will want to find his pleasure. Look again at our passage, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Well, why would I want to know what pleases the Lord? Who cares what pleases the Lord? Well, because my heart is there now. I want to please the Lord. And so find out, verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You see, now you're living differently. Now you're not living your life begrudgingly obeying laws that you don't agree with anyway, to try to please God or earn your salvation or justify your existence. No, you're not living like that anymore. Now there's something happening in your heart where you love God and you want to please him. The way two people, when they fall in love, they want to find what puts a smile on their face. You want to please the Lord. And as you give your life over into his hands, more and more you grow, you change, you shift. And eventually, not only do you want to please him and know what pleases him, but more and more, you want to do it. Because you love God so much and you trust him so deeply that his word is higher to you than any other thought or argument. And your life is in his hands. And you do all things with thanks to God. As it says here at the end, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What would it look like to marinate in the holiness of God's Holy Spirit? How much of prayer is just going into that place and soaking in God's presence? What difference would it make to allow God to make you whole, to pull you into his holiness for his glory? We want to just spend time in that right now. In this series, 40 Days of Prayer, and our series, In a Spirit of Prayer, we're kind of coming to a close next week. As Pastor Allen mentioned, we're going to, at 12:30, we're going to hold hands right around the church. We're going to pray. It's Pentecost Sunday, the Sunday that the church remembers when the Holy Spirit came down in fire on the church. And we're going to pray. We're going to see Some Holy Spirit fire, amen? Woo! Ellen came into my office, said, I have a vision of our whole church linked hands in prayer. What a beautiful vision. We're going to live that out. And then there's a farmer's market. Then you can go get honey. But we're going to link and we're going to pray. Because in this series, we don't just want to talk about prayer. We want to pray. We want to pray together. So I want us, before we go to the table, to just marinate in the presence of God a bit. And I want to teach you one more practice of prayer. We'll actually have one more next week. But this is one more rhythm of prayer, a kind of a pattern of prayer. Sometimes we don't pray because we don't know how to get started. So we've talked about a few different patterns of prayer. And this is one more. It's called the prayer of examine. It comes from the Jesuit tradition, the Roman Catholic Church. But it's a gift to all Christians of all walks of life, this pattern of prayer. Richard Foster talked about it in his book on prayer. It's often a way of ending the day with the Lord, but what it gives you is a framework. You could do it much longer than we're going to do it. We're only going to do it for a minute, but you could take this, you could do this for as long as you'd like to marinate in the presence of God. There are five movements. Number one, rest in God's presence. You just rest in God's presence. Number two, replay the day or the week or the year. You replay it, let it replay, almost like a movie, just replaying the day. And as the day is replaying, you take notes of where God was present, where you felt blessed, where you felt consolation in your soul, where you felt that you were in the streams of the living God. And take note of where things were difficult, where you felt a desolation, a drying out of your spirit. You replay the day and then rejoice because God was there. Recognize God moments where God was so present you could almost see his face and rejoice and give thanks. And then fourth, repent. Because there were moments that you recognized that you were in rebellion, in the way of God. And the fifth movement is to recommit. Say, Jesus, I'm yours. You're my Lord and Savior. I will follow you. I want us just to walk through this pattern of prayer. This is a time to bathe in the presence of God. Would you bow your heads as I walk us through this prayer together? Let's pray. Lord, we just rest in your presence. You are here, Lord God Almighty. We breathe in, we breathe out, and we rest in your love. In that place where strivings cease, belovedness sets in. You are loved. Lord, we replay the day. We replay. We see it before us. Places where there was rich blessing, places where it was hard. With you, Jesus, we look back. We rejoice. We can see where you were, where you showed up. We give you thanks and praise for these moments, these God moments. And Lord, there were places where each of us, we can say we stood in your way. We got right in the way of what you were doing. Sometimes unknowingly, sometimes in rebellion. Lord, turn me and I will be turned. Save me and I will be saved. Help us to repent and to turn again to you. For Jesus, you are worthy. I recommit my life to you, Lord. Whatever else I am in my obedience and my disobedience, in my virtue and my vice, wherever I am acclaimed by those around me, wherever my name is dragged through the mud, whatever people say of me, you know, Jesus, I am yours, wholly thine, always yours, ever more. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. I will rise and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hearing God's word is just the beginning. What connected with you? What challenged you today? Maybe it's surrendering something, stepping into community, or simply trusting Him more deeply. Whatever it is, don't leave it for later. Act on it today. We're praying that this message moves you closer to Jesus, and we'd love to walk with you in that journey and answer any questions you've got. Connect with us by visiting firstprescos.org. Hey, if today's message encouraged you, take a moment and subscribe so you never miss an episode, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Check in next week, and we'll continue to grow in our faith together. See you next time.